As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Issues 2021. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Eric Kale, Director, Wichita Sedgwick County Historical Museum. Welcome to Issues 2021, Eric.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
It's been a while since we've talked, and some of our listeners may not be familiar with the museum, and let's talk about it a little bit here. Where are you located?
Well, we're right downtown. We're near Century 2, but we're very easy to spot. We have a 170-foot clock tower on the building, and the building was built in 1890 to serve as Wichita's first city hall.
Yeah, and your museum has not been located there since the inception. When did you move in there, and where from?
Well, this museum was started actually in 1939, but this City Hall location is our third, and we moved here when City Hall moved to its current location in 75. The building was renovated for use as a museum, and we opened here in 81.
Where's it located before that? Do you know, Eric?
Yeah, prior to that, we were in College Hill on Douglas Street in the Beachy family home. They were great museum supporters and left their collection and their home to the museum. This was in the early 50s. And so we moved from the old Forum Building, which most of your listeners won't know, it was basically predated Century 2 and served in that capacity.
Right.
And so we moved from there to the Beachy home. Beachy's own Stephen's Dairy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and it's currently owned by Kirstie Alley.
Oh, yeah, that's the same house. Okay, well, listen, you know, the building you're in is so historical in itself. I do remember when it was City Hall, and right across the alley to the east was the police headquarters at one time, and that's quite a building. Have you ever been up in the clock tower there?
Oh, yes. We go up there and change the light bulbs for the clock face and keep it running with the help of the Wichita Clock Club. The building's still owned by the city, but we have been its tenant now for over 40 years and have been working on it every day since.
Let's talk about the museum, how it got started. Can you go back that far? It's been a long time ago.
Oh, sure. I'd be glad to. Of course, the city and county just celebrated its 150th year.
And so
it was interesting because right after the Civil War, immigration took off again, and people were moving west, and Wichita was really a destination on the west end of expansion at that time. So the people who moved here felt they were making history. They were a literate bunch, you know, from the Victorian age. So they were almost set on making a museum as soon as they got here in the middle of nowhere. But it took a number of years to form it up, and today we're one of the leading local history museums in the United States.
Yeah, let's talk about how is the museum financed? How do you keep the doors open down there?
Well, you know, we do it through a lot of help, a lot of supporters. We have museum members who are good old-fashioned card-carrying members that renew an annual membership every year. That's as low as $25, but that's kind of our core group of supporters. We've also, for generations, received a small amount of operational support from both the City of Wichita and also the Board of Sedgwick County, the Sedgwick County Commission. So we receive some public help. We have a lot of a responsibility as a public educational institution.
The how many visitors come to the museum in a year's time?
Right now, visitation is pretty light. And, you know, for history museums, we get the lightest visitation. If you think about all the cultural and institutions out there, with the zoo being at the very top, and then the art museums and Exploration Place, those kind of museums customarily track more. History museums, a little more contemplative, a little more laid-back experience. And we had doubled that, our visitation, over the last 10 years until the pandemic hit, and now we're back way back down. But typically, we get about 16,000 people through a year. We're open 6 days a week, and you know, weekends. We're closed on Mondays. That's a good thing to note, and that's typical of a lot of museums. But we, on any given day, we'll have 25 people filter through on all four floors. So it's pretty safe destination in these times to come and get out and do something safely.
Where do your visitors come from? They're not just from around here, I don't think, are they?
Right. Of course, we're very interested in getting all of our local citizens in. I think through tax dollars, everyone chips in about a nickel a year, so you should come down and see the place. But many of our visitors are from out of town and overseas. In fact, it's a place that someone unfamiliar with Wichita or maybe visiting the first time will come to kind of get acquainted with the community, because we have about 25 different exhibits that really kind of explain who we are and what's happened here. So a lot of our visitors are from around the world.
How are the exhibits arranged and presented? You have, what, five floors that you arrange them on?
Actually, four. And sometimes we'll open up the tower room for special tours. But we have basically three types of exhibits here. We have special exhibits, which include the occasional traveling exhibit, and these are these keep things changed up and fresh and interesting. So it's not a been there, done that sort of experience. We also have core exhibits, which are kind of essential, ongoing exhibits that really kind of look at the history comprehensively, often in sort of a timeline, segmented out for different periods of our history. And then we also have what we refer to as immersive exhibits, which are kind of environmental, stepping back into time. We have a Victorian cottage, a regular middle-class Wichita home of 1890, 1900, that era, several rooms, and you would swear you were somewhere else when you're in that exhibit. We also have the original mayor's office for the building restored and in its original appearance. So you can go and see where Mayor Carey opened up shop here we opened in 1892. It took him a couple years to build. We have a drugstore, a turn-of-the-century drugstore exhibit. And then perhaps one of the favorites is the Jones 6 automobile. This was the company that built automobiles here 100 years ago, and we have the only one remaining that's on public exhibit. There are a few others out there, but they're in private collections. So you can see what kind of cars they were building here.
Yeah. So you talked about traveling exhibits. Do you get many of those in like history, traffic? I wouldn't think there are many available, but do you get many traveling exhibits?
Yeah, we do when they meet our mission and kind of correspond to local history. Some of those that we've gotten that are traveling have examined, like Prohibition, which we were specialists in here in Kansas and Wichita. I think Carrie Nation chopping up the bars and railing against the use of alcohol. And so we had a traveling exhibit on that. We have had one on the Greatest Generation, World War II. And, of course, Wichita operated 24/7 as a war production for aircraft at that time. So that worked perfectly with our local history. Another one was on the Cold War and the nuclear age, where we had the Titan missile silos surrounding the city, and that exhibit was very interesting because it looked at that brief period of time. So we get those. We've also create some of our own special exhibits. A few which could possibly travel. One right now we have up is on the history of the electric guitar, and might seem a little far afield for local history, except the electric guitar made its world debut from Wichita in 1932, so we explore that subject.
I just tell you that I've shared this with you before, I think, and I brought two or three of my grandchildren down there to see the museum, and the thing that fascinated them both, believe it or not, was the manual typewriter and the telephone booth.
Yes, very popular. And, history museums are so well known for being hands-off. You know, we're preserving the artifacts, which are really kind of our medium for telling the stories that we tell. The typewriter and the phone booth are put there to kind of engage kids in thinking about the past, and they're a lot of fun. We often flip a kid a dime at admissions and tell them to take the payphone challenge, and they have to go in and read the instructions, how to operate it, contemplate a dial, and it's from 1948, and it's it functions just like you might remember, Steve. And a lot of fun. I'm glad to hear they enjoyed that. And then the typewriter, it's mystifying. I mean, it's sort of like a laptop, but not. And so both those things are hands-on. We have other hands-on things for kids, too. So it's not entirely don't touch around here.
Eric, do you have any school tours? You do schools?
Yeah, we do school tours all the time. We don't charge for them because we don't want an admission fee to be an obstacle for the kids to learn about their town. Of course, those are curtailed right now, but we have a thing that teachers are using on our website, which is a family pass, which a teacher can issue. And so the kids have been coming, with their families, and we look forward to doing the school tours again. They'll come back before too long.
You're listening to Issues 2021 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Eric Kale, director of Wichita Sedgwick County Historical Museum. And as you know, we've talked before, I'm a huge history nut, and I think that we need to really emphasize it in the schools as much as we can. But let's talk for a little bit about the impact of the pandemic on your operations. I mean, I've talked to most of the museums in the city, in the area, and it's been a real experience. Let's put it that way. How about you? What's it been like for you at the Historical Museum?
Yes, it's certainly been a game changer in a lot of ways. It's given us some time to reorganize some of our approaches, but we've been open except for that brief shutdown, we've been open and functional and welcoming visitors here, it's been well received, though there have been fewer come. As far as our finances are concerned, you know, admissions aren't a big part of our income stream. They're important, but they don't drive things here, and it's our supporters that do, and they've been very supportive through this. Memberships have increased, and people are lending their support in a lot of different ways. So it's kept us going. We're not, like so many other businesses, threatened to the extent where we're worried about the future. So we're plugging away.
It certainly sounds like you've done better than a lot of folks with this thing. So way to go. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And our hearts go out to everyone who's not fared well. And there are many of them. But you might think of this as a place that's out here at these times to find a little relief.
I want you to take a look at the big picture for a little bit and just talk about, in your opinion, the importance of history to a nation's culture and of the importance of the history of as to who we are as Americans.
Yeah, it's very important to have an objective look at history on an ongoing, continual basis to preserve it, to not lose it, or you basically could be in danger of losing your identity. It's good to know these stories of the past. It's, you know, there's the point of nostalgia, and that's a little different for everyone, you know, what they fondly remember, and then having some prompts to recall it in a museum is a nice thing. But as far as identity, if you don't know where you've came from, you don't really know who you are. So it's interesting, and I think a process of self-discovery for people to come here. It's also fun to connect the generations, and as you were mentioning with your grandkids coming here, there's a lot to talk about. There's the curiosity of what happened, and then the knowledge of being able to explain it a little bit. And so we have a lot of fun with multiple generations visiting at once. It's a great place to connect.
No nation is perfect, and there's a lot of bad things and ugly things that have happened. But there seem to be people who want to gloss that over. Any danger that some people seem to just want to rewrite our history and maybe leave out all the bad parts?
Oh, sure. You know, everyone has their own take on it and how they want to do it. And it's important to be objective and factual. And that's one thing we strive for. We look at multiple perspectives. We want to be completely factual about it and consider all the angles. You know, if you skew it to a certain lens, it's, you know, it becomes one dimensional. Mm-hmm. We are right now about to release a book that's kind of inspired by the sesquicentennial, the 150th anniversary, and it's a illustrated history of Wichita. It will be about 350 pages, over 400 different images, all from the museum's collection. And these include not just photographs, but artifacts. It's a lovely, large hardcover book that will be coming out next month.
Okay, I'm looking forward to that.
It's sort of like a walk through the museum for your coffee table.
There you go. Well, let's talk a little bit about the early days and how Wichita got started. Was this kind of a trading post at one point here on the two rivers as they came together?
Well, yeah, the indigenous people had been drawn to this area for many years, and it had a very strong cultural life for centuries, And it's, I think, because of the confluence of the two rivers and being in the valley, it was just a conducive place. It was remarkable and easy to find. So there was a lot going on here. Our museum really doesn't get into that early history. That would be better found at the All-American Indians Museum there.
Sure.
It was just the next logical progression, a place to go after the end of the Civil War. And as Kansas was forming up as a state, the lands were being opened for settlement. So people just flocked here. And we had, I mean, there were lots of destinations in the area, but we had, I suppose, the most the most influential and ardent boosters bringing people here, and it just was the place.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's skip ahead then a little bit and talk about the impact of aviation on this area.
Yeah, aviation, has been a huge driver and has really defined us as a city. The first real catalyst for this occurred in 1911 at a place just sort of north and east of here, Walnut Grove. It was a kind of a little suburban resort area. They had an air meet there, and people rode their horses and carriages out there. There were a few automobiles, and watched an air show. And that inspired everyone. You think 1911, well, that was quite a while after Kitty Hawk, but actually Kitty Hawk was relatively unknown until they went to France in 1908. So this all happened really quick. So we were into airplanes from the early times. It was great for airplanes because we had wind, which you needed to take these things off the ground, and we had flat open spaces. And we had ingenious farmers who were inspired to, build equipment and things, and why not an airplane? So,
I want to not to interrupt you. I want you to talk about just a couple of our better-known citizens through the years from Wichita. Who are a couple that you might mention?
Oh gosh, there are legions of them. Great citizens. There are people who made national fame in show business, which that's always a fun subject. And then there are business leaders that did things here and inventors. Steve, do you have a favorite?
You mentioned Kirstie Alley, of course, but also the star of Gone with the Wind, who the first black...
Hattie McDaniel.
Oh yeah, I think she's just a terrific example.
She has a fascinating story and very important historically, and not well known enough at all. There was just a little installation on the north side of downtown put together that kind of tells her story. Other movie stars from here: Louise Brooks, who was a phenomenal.
Oh, she's a huge star in her day. Huge.
Oh yeah. And a game changer. The modern woman kind of person. Then there was Vera Miles.
Vera Miles, yeah,
appeared in Alfred Hitchcock movies and others, and so there's then Kirstie Alley. So quite a number of them. Don Johnson. I could go on. Annette Bening grew up
Annette
here.
Bening, yep. And you talk about that, you talk about some of the, in the days of the entrepreneurs, but not so much now, but we had Pizza Hut started here with the Carney brothers. You have the Coleman Company, and, of course, the aviation, the manufacturers here. This has been a really interesting place over the years for people who, pioneers, I guess you'd say, trailblazers.
Yeah, it's really attracted a lot of incredibly ingenious, inventive, creative people who, to come to Wichita out here away from so so much of the rest of the world, you'd have to be pretty special, I think, and that's really shown.
What's ahead for you? Do you need more volunteers? Are you back where you need to be as far as the pandemic and everything? Things going well?
Things are going relatively well. We always need support, and this museum is we celebrated our 81st year and going into our 82nd. We need the continued support of the community through membership or simply good wishes and coming to visit. But one of the things that we hear constantly is, gosh, I've lived here all my life. I had no idea this museum was here.
All right. Well, this will help get out the word. We're out of time.
Yes, thank you.
We're out of time, Eric. Our guest is Eric Kale, director of the Wichita Sedgwick County Historical Museum. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2021. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.